Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of season 7. If you've just joined, I am Robin of Out of Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful Maria of Magic with Maria Everywhere.
Thank you. I feel beautiful.
And later this episode, we are going to be joined by Kelsen Mercury, the author of like 5 books, I believe.
Books. So good.
Yes. One of which we are reading for our book club and one that he just released, which is a book about like nursery rhymes and magic. And it's very good. So definitely stick with us so that way you can hear that very great interview, because Kelsen is a genius as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Agreed. Absolutely.
We will be having a class next month, but we have not solidified exactly who it is who's going to be teaching it. We have a couple of different options, so stay tuned to find out who that is going to be. And if you are somebody who would like to send us a submission to Coffee Talk episodes, we would love it if you would send us a voicemail. Our phone number for that is 351-207-0799. Do remember that they have a 3-minute cap, so just call us back and we will smash them together. If you've just joined us, every single week we talk about upcoming astrological phases. This season we're doing things a little bit different. We are talking about astrological transits instead of lunar phases. So if you are somebody who specifically works with lunar phases, I do encourage you to head back to the previous 6 seasons and find the lunar phase at which we are at, so that way you can utilize it. Now, that being said, we have 5 between now and the next episode. The first is going to be on March 2nd. That is Mars entering Pisces. Now, that being said, Mars entering Pisces is happening on March 2nd. This is all about soft, like, communication. It takes, like, any kind of drive that we have going on and gives it a significantly softer edge. Because we can be driven while simultaneously, I don't know, being a little bit more compassionate, a little bit more intuitive. It would be my recommendation that if you are going to utilize Mars entering Pisces, this might be a good time to kind of soften our relationships at work, that maybe we can meet each other with a little bit more compassion and understanding. And that includes people understanding you. Our next is going to be a total lunar eclipse. This will be in Virgo. That is the following day on March 3rd. This is, first of all, eclipses in general are very nuanced, very complicated. I'm not going to tell you if you should use them, if you shouldn't use them. That's your business. That's your decision to make. Eclipses have a very torrid history and a very mixed bag of whether or not you should or shouldn't use something. So I'm not here to police your witchcraft. But what I will say is that if you do choose to utilize the lunar eclipse in Virgo, this is all about kind of accelerating major endings and major shifts. This kind of puts you in a position where you can say, hey, I am ready to take that leap to cut off that family member. Hey, I'm ready to finally quit my job. I'm ready to break up with that partner, end that relationship. This is the full moon to kind of set yourself for your best success. Then on March 6th, we have Venus entering Aries. This is introducing passion, kind of fast-paced, rapid movement when it comes to our relationships. So maybe your relationship is ready to take the next step. or you are and your partner is not moving at a pace at which you would like them to, this is the time to do spell work to kind of put a little fire under their ass. Mm-hmm. That being said, do have nuance and consideration when it comes to this kind of spell work and how it might affect things. So when we want a healthy, successful relationship, it does not start with a kidnapping. So instead, this might be magic that kind of just encourages them to help make those next steps and have the confidence to do so if you would like a long-term, healthy, stable relationship. If you don't and you're just ready to fuck around and find out, then I say go for it and do what you want. Vesta is entering Pisces on March 10th. This is focus, devotion, spiritual and artistic, compassionate pursuits. Anything that you are working on that is going to sort of, need a little bit more whimsy.
Yes.
This would be the time to do it. And finally, Jupiter is moving into direct on March 10th as well. This is shifting momentum forward. Be a big time for road openers and kind of just easing any and all expansion that involves kind of your life in general, your general big grand growth. And this is you just kind of clearing the way for yourself to not have any roadblocks, any obstacles. Have I said enough in this time?
You said a lot, but you said it so beautifully.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I too would like for me to shut the fuck up. So let's move on to the next segment.
So every podcast we talk about tarot cards. In the past, we have gone over individual meanings of cards, and we have gone over whole sections in tarots, going through the aces, the court cards, the major arcana, the minor arcana, and telling you what all those were about. And last season, we went over themes, like just themes that we see in tarot, like friendship, love, and what cards might point that out. This season, we're kind
of... Two seasons ago, babe.
Jesus. It's been long, okay? All the years blend together at this point. But anyways. This season, we're kind of returning back to our roots. Oh, and last season, apparently. Returning back to our roots and pulling individual cards. But this time, with a twist, we are pulling for like... just kind of for the collective and seeing what those cards mean currently. And sometimes it might not resonate with you, and that is okay. It might resonate with her for a whole bunch of other people. But let's go ahead and see what the cards have to say this week. Okay. So we got Michelle Robin, the Three of Wands.
Ooh la la.
Yes. This to me shows finally seeing some progress on our journeys when it comes to growth, when it comes to exploring our passions, or even just going out there and going on new adventures. Like, you know, maybe you're going on a trip. Maybe you are planning to try something new. But it's kind of still like visualizing it more than actively like going into the thick of things. And it's really up to us to go ahead and just go for it. You know, we can't just expect for these things to come to us. You know, when the day, let's say that you are planning to go and do something with a group of people like during the weekend, and then the weekend comes and you're like, I am so exhausted because of work and everything going on. Like, I'm really not feeling up to it. And then you miss out probably on like a really fun experience when you could have like done the experience being like, wow, I'm really glad I went. And it's just kind of like inviting you like to go ahead and explore. You already made this plan. Go out and try it. Who knows what like opportunities await you if you actually go out and explore them.
It makes me think of Yo Gabba Gabba. Try it. You'll like it.
I miss Yo Gabba Gabba when the witchling was little.
So good.
How about you? How do you see it?
for the Three of Wands. Mm-hmm. I don't really know that I have a lot extra to say, but what I will say is, while you have the try it, you'll like mentality, and I'm not saying you shouldn't try it and that you won't like it, but what I am saying is that when there are these kind of forks in the road ahead of us, I always tell clients when it's in tarot readings that nothing is set in stone, because we will have these Three of Wands moments where you can continue on the path that you're on or pick a different one. Mm-hmm. And so it's never going to be a concrete thing, because maybe tomorrow you'll put yourself in a position where you're like, you know what? I've always done it this way. I'm going to try something else and see how it goes. If you are in a stuck in a rut type of situation and you get the Three of Wands, to me, it is a big like sign that this is your way to kind of shift your fates. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are the three options ahead of you, one of which is a worse path, and it's going to not work out at all for you. Mm-hmm. One of them is staying the same, and one of them is going something that is totally new and exciting and great and is going to put you in a better position. Mm-hmm. So why not roll that dice, right?
Yeah. Even if like it doesn't work out, you still learned something that doesn't work. Like, knowledge is like,
hey, actually, that path sucks.
Well, it's not the
I'm going to go the other way.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It's an opportunity is how I look at it. Mm-hmm. An opportunity to put yourself in a position that is better. And yes, it might not work out and it might be bad, but the only way to find out is to try.
So today we have a special guest. We're joined by Kelvin. We're actually reading his book on the Discord, A Crooked Path, in our book club, and everyone's been really enjoying it. But yeah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm Kelvin. I am a witch, a folklorist, and a mental health practitioner. Those are my sort of three big things about me.
It's always so good to see a witch in the therapy space. And
yes,
yeah, giving room for people with alternative religious viewpoints or spiritual viewpoints. Yeah.
You're also a 3x author, right? It's 3x?
I think I'm up to 5.
Mm. Oh, okay. Look at me not being up to date with your work.
Okay.
Somebody should cancel her. Whose podcast is this? Well, first of all, thank you so much for joining us. Yes, I'm very glad that you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. You also recently just sent Maria and I both copies of it's your latest book, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. See, I do know what's going on, guys. which is the Mother Goose's Book of Spells, which is very exciting. And we will talk about that in a minute. But before we get to that portion of our little hangout today, if you were telling our listeners who have no idea who you are, they've never heard anything about you or anything about magic that you practice, how would you describe traditional witchcraft and how it involves folklore?
Mm-hmm. So my little joke, which is not a joke, is that traditional witchcraft is actually a really unhelpful term, because it's really loaded. And before we even get into the weeds of defining it, we have to confront this word traditional that has a lot of preconceived notions about it. Those typically being that something traditional is really old and something that has not changed over that course of time. This is fundamentally not true. That's not actually how traditions work, especially through a folklore lens. But traditional witchcraft is essentially non-Wiccan forms of witchcraft. When we think about the modern witchcraft revival happening in the mid-20th century, there's a handful of sources that people are pulling from, right? People who are looking to develop some form of witchcraft practice. And these really form the root system of the tree that is contemporary witchcraft. Those roots include things like ceremonial magic texts, folk magic traditions, mythology, broader folklore, witch trial transcripts. There's a collection of frequently cited books like Margaret Murray's The Witch Cult in Western Europe or Charles Leland's Aradia, Gospel of the Witches. And so people are pulling from these sources. They're developing practices. The tree is growing. And as it grows, it really splits into two main avenues. On one hand, you have what we know today as Wicca. And Wicca broadly leans more into the ceremonial side of things, right? It's pulling a lot more from the current of Western esotericism. Whereas witchcraft, that other avenue, leans more into folklore, really looking at things like ancestral folkways, as well as witch trial transcripts and broader mythological legendary witchcraft ideas to inspire and influence modern practice. So traditional witchcraft essentially is non-Wiccan witchcraft. It's an umbrella term for a variety of different group and individual traditions that pull from folkloric sources.
I think it's really important that you brought up that Wicca does derive so much of its like path workings from ceremonial magic, because I don't think a lot of people recognize that. And ceremonial magic has incidentally become such a huge framework of modern witchcraft, at least as we see it in like online spaces. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that. Mm-hmm. You know, we love to have conversations around Crowley, and I'm not saying that those critiques are good or bad, but what I am saying is that I think a lot of people don't realize that they can thank, air quote there, Crowley for a lot of the influence that is, you know, common gnosis of one. What is the term that people like using now? Eclectic witchcraft, eclectic witches. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that. So I think it's really important that you brought it up.
Yeah. And I also like how you touched on traditional, like, we're always like, there's modern folklore and like new traditions happening all the time. And I think that's so important to talk about.
Yeah. So the book that I released prior to this one, Hickety Pickety, which is A Witch's Guide to Folklore, that was a huge part in that book, was really breaking down kind of the essence of folklore and folklore studies, because that is such a big thing. It's always been a big part of contemporary witchcraft, but I think more and more people are really turning to folklore. And it's important that we have an understanding about what some of these terms mean. And tradition is one of them, right? Traditions are started all the time. They're not defined by their age. Age can certainly play a role. But it's not necessarily the defining feature. The defining feature of a tradition is that it's passed on, and that can happen in all kinds of different time frames.
Absolutely.
And in all kinds of different situations too. I could pass something on to Maria that she then brings into her practice as like an annual thing. Mm-hmm. And just because she's not my child, that mm-hmm. doesn't mean I'm not passing something on to her. And I think a lot of people miss the nuances in those little things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your most recent book, Mother Goose's Book of Spells, is a perfect example of how important our inner child is towards our crafts. And can you explain the inspiration behind using nursery rhymes, mm-hmm. aka like our childhood folklore, for your spell book?
Yeah, I love the idea of allowing our inner child to play. I think sometimes mm-hmm. we forget that witchcraft and magic can be fun. It doesn't have to be all like cloak and dagger all the time.
There's definitely a place for that, but sure. It doesn't have to be the end all be all.
When I think about some of my favorite parts of witchcraft, it is that fun. And nursery rhymes are a way of creating incantations and spells and verbal charms. And that's not unprecedented. There's a history of people using nursery rhymes in folk magic practices, sometimes without even knowing that the verbal charm they're using is a nursery rhyme. Sometimes it's been passed on in such a way that it sort of loses that connotation and it takes on this form of like, oh, well, this is actually this old form of spellcraft. So it's not about precedent. But again, it's fun. It's a way to create and to think about the world around you. That is really enchanting.
I agree. And I love that, like, we were actually talking about in the Discord about like how taking things that resonate in movies or books that like maybe you're reading the fantasy book about like witchcraft and someone does a spell and, you know, something, the incantation like really resonates and someone like forms a spell around that. Like, I love that because if it resonates and it works and you find the magic within the words, I mean, that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. Utilizing Mother Goose, and of course you have other people than just Mother Goose or other sources than just Mother Goose in this. I do think that it is really looked over the magic that children have inherently and how they have so much just belief and confidence that a lot of us lack in adulthood. We, you know, the world beats us up and we forget about these things and it becomes much harder to re-grasp it. And so why not go to a source of childhood that is like unifying for so many of us to be drawn to inspiration of? I just, I think it's wonderful. And I like, as a mom, I really like the concept of this book.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I think it's just very, I don't know, I not to make this about me because it's not, but I think this is just a really genius idea. And I don't know, I've been reading through it and I've been really enjoying it. And I've been like earmarking pages for myself.
Yeah, it was definitely really fun. It was a fun writing process, kind of getting into this headspace. Sort of writing this narrative frame around the book, and getting into the minds of not only Mother Goose, but these other characters as well. And kind of what is their personality? Like what kind of magic, would they be most interested in? How would they be, incorporating different materials and actions into these spells?
Kind of on that note, about the different characters, this is like such a minute thing, but the fact that you gave each one of them a different font was genius on your part. That's a 12 out of 10 from me.
Okay. Glad.
That really, just my brain was like, yep.
It really grew from, you know, originally just being like, okay, this is going to be a book, you know, all, you know, supposedly coming directly from Mother Goose as a person. And when I started to encounter these other early sort of nursery rhyme collections with these kind of stock figures, I knew that I wanted to incorporate and then thinking about, well, how do I incorporate them in a way where they feel distinct in themselves? And when I decided on framing it as like, this is a spell book that I discovered and I'm transcribing, the idea of, well, they all would have had different handwriting and
totally.
And so then using different fonts to signify that, really, I was like, okay, I think that's a good idea. And it sounds like it was, so I'm glad.
Yeah,
it is.
No, 100%. And I love that. At least for me, because I'm about halfway through reading it right now, about a quarter or a fifth of the way in, I immediately would like recognize the hand, or, you know, the handwriting to, okay, who am I talking about? And it made the ease of reading it just really flow for me, where I'm like, I didn't have to keep going back or like playing it, because nothing is more frustrating than when you have like a million different sources and it's like, okay, but who are we talking about right now? Where does this come from? And especially when they are so recognizable. I know for myself, I would have been like, okay, but who is this? Like, which one is this coming from? So it makes it flow very nicely for me. I think it's a wonderful addition.
Yeah. And you pretty much, you created like your own folklore, like at the beginning, being like, yeah.
I found, yeah, I wanted to,
I love that.
I wanted to be really careful too with like putting a little note in the beginning of the book that, you know, this is a work of fiction, and then including an afterword where I sort of explain, because I was like, okay, I can't just put this out there saying like,
could you imagine?
Like, people would be like, oh, this asshole thinks that he can fool us.
The new nuance internet would have loved that.
But I really, I liked the idea of, you know, creating just like this short little framing device around like, I found this book hidden away in an attic. And, you know, like that's something that has happened in history. I talk about in the back, like, especially... Yeah. Sort of black book traditions coming out of Scandinavia where, you know, people did find little notebooks and trunks and under floorboards and churches. So it's not, you know, it's not without, again, without precedent. But yeah, I just thought it was fun.
It is fun. And I think that it being fun and silly and not, I mean, yes, of course, it's got serious stuff in it and serious spells that can be utilized, but without taking itself so seriously that it can't be fun. And I think that a lot of people miss that in their magic. We've like fallen into this, I'm going to call it purity culture, but I know that's the wrong phrasing. We have fallen into this purity culture mindset on the internet where, you know, people from their books, from their podcasts, from their YouTubes, wherever they are sourcing their mentorship and education, that if it's not taken so like stone cold seriously, that is somehow less than. And I think that this book does a good job of capturing both the seriousness of spells while also being playful and fun and utilizing something that as the folk, as the people, we all recognize and know. Not to like get up your ass, Kelvin, but no. I think that was, it's okay. You've done a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So on that note, to get us back on track here. So on the note of part of what we love about this book is that there are these types of spells that are very serious, but they utilize things like word witchery, and there'll be some mixed in that have little to no ingredients, which is very, you know, helpful, especially when you have people who have low spoons or for whatever reason they have very little they can utilize in their life in terms of like sourcing ingredients for, you know, whatever reason. How do you feel the practical nature of these spell workings could even help able-bodied, financially secure people, et cetera, within their craft?
I mean, I think everyone benefits from spellcraft that is accessible. You know, if you have the spoons and you have the finances to, you know, to use a lot of ingredients or to source, you know, very mystical, rare, exotic things, like that's cool. But, you know, when I think about folk magic and folk witchery, it's about getting stuff done. And at the end of the day, you know, what do you have on hand that just gets shit done? And so I think everyone can benefit from that. I also think that when we encounter spells like this, where it's low, you know, low supply, low demand, it also challenges the way that we're thinking about magic overall. I think, you know, going off of what you're saying about like things are often assumed to be very like stone cold and serious. We often assume that magic has to be very complicated. And sometimes it can be, but it doesn't always have to be. And one of the other things too is, you know, like, I think we see this a lot on the internet where people will like post about like, oh, I want to do this spell, but I don't have this thing. Could I try this thing? And in my mind, I always just want to like reach out to those people and be like, well, fuck around and find out. Like experiment. Like, you know, we're, I think back to maybe like some Silver Ravenwolf books where she talks about, you know, like witchcraft is a science and an art, right? And I think that's the science part of it, is like experiment, try things. We're sometimes maybe too afraid to do that. And so, you know, I think woven into this book is some of that, that, you know, there's alternate things you could try. I sort of include these little annotations from myself, and a lot of them are about, oh, like I tried using this instead. You know, and there's an example in there where I'm like, I tried using this and it didn't work. Or I tried using this and it really did work. So I think everyone benefits.
Yeah.
I also think that is part of the beauty of folk magic in general, is it's all about utilizing what you have. And I think that when we kind of touch back to our first question about traditional magic, traditionally speaking, we utilize what we had. You know, candles are used not because they were, you know, these exotic things that you could gather. It's because that's how people had light in their house. And I think that people, you know, we forget that sometimes, and we forget that these moments come up because we are utilizing what we have, and why shouldn't you fuck around and find out, you know? Play with it. That's the whole point of things like grimoires and books of shadows, so you can take notes and treat it like a science experiment. Like, because why shouldn't you? The TV has people way too afraid to experiment. They think that their house is going to get possessed by some grand demon if they use rosemary instead of lavender.
Right. And I tell people all the time.
It reminds me of the books, like the Crone's Book of Words, which was like a favorite when I was growing up. Just the simplicity of it kind of like goes back to that spell, like just getting a book of spells, and not just like any spells, but spells you can actually do. And, you know, I don't know. It was just, I really appreciated like that sort of thing.
I think have my Crone's Book of Words from like 25 years ago over there, and it is crumbling to ash. So I think that's like the only book I still have from when I was a teenager, and it is falling apart.
So the fun thing about nursery rhymes is that they are super catchy, which is perfect for spell work, but especially for handing down knowledge to future generations. How much folklore do you think we carry with us, like from our childhoods, like without us even realizing it, and like that we can utilize in our spell work?
I think a whole crap ton. this is where where people do sometimes make this, they sort of conflate these things in a way that can be an issue, right? Like we see those posts where it's like, have you ever blown out candles on a birthday cake? That's witchcraft. And it's like, and it's like, no, like that's not witchcraft. Could you use that in your witchcraft practice? Yes. Right. Like have you ever avoided stepping on a crack? That's witchcraft. And it's like, no, like this,
it's witchcraft.
This is common folklore. This is, you know, we might call that superstition. and from like a traditional witchcraft, or even right now, people often use the term folkloric witchcraft perspective. Those are all really great things that you can bring into your practice. I think about it like a salad, right? Where it's like, those are the croutons that add flavor to your salad. if the salad is witchcraft. But if you take those croutons out of the salad, you can't point to them and go, well, that's salad. No, those are croutons.
Well, I would disagree because I do think that when I put croutons into a bowl by itself, I am eating a salad. And it's honestly like I'm feeling a little attacked that you would ever even say that specific analogy.
That's like so Midwestern of you to say.
Man, no. No, I'm canceled.
The butter garlic croutons? You expect me to eat this with a lettuce?
You heard it here first, folks. Heldon's policing people's dietary practices.
Oh my God. Threads.com. I've got something to say.
But I think we bring in a lot of that stuff. Because again, it's those things that really attach to us in early childhood that we make a lot of meaning. It helps us sort of understand the world around us. I mean, that's one of the functions of folklore is to make meaning. Yeah. So I think we bring in a lot of that. I mean, even just the fact that like we're used to this idea that like spells rhyme. Like spells need to rhyme.
Yeah.
And I think some of us maybe get that through like the avenue of popular media, right? So like I grew up watching Charmed. Mm-hmm. I think that's more than likely where I learned the idea that spells rhyme.
Right.
But where did they get that notion from? Where did those people get that notion from? And I think we can really bring that back to nursery rhymes.
Mm-hmm. I also think, too, I mean, I love that. This is not specifically about nursery rhymes, but kind of going, once again, going back to the Wicca influence of things. Mm-hmm. I don't think people realize how much Doreen Valiente actually had an impact in our modern witchcraft because she was a poet. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't realize that these things come from like a singular figurehead that you probably have never even heard of.
It's really,
you know, unless you are a Wiccan or a nerd.
It's really sad to me that that is something that happens. Not only just from like the perspective of like someone who loves history, but also someone who has a framed picture of Doreen Valiente because she's my hero.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've been doing these sort of research surveys on different groups' perspectives on other groups within witchcraft. And it's interesting because a lot of people who critique Wicca, both in ways that are, you know, well-rounded and founded and others that maybe not. There's this tendency to really point to Gerald Gardner while ignoring the contributions of people like Doreen Valiente and other women who were part of those original covens.
Once again, occult bros erasing women throughout history. Like, we can talk on this for hours because Maria's already like braced for my soapbox and I will not do it, Maria.
I'm on that soapbox too. Like, yeah.
Nobody hates an occult bro who minimizes and hates women more than this guy right here. It's probably the most annoying part of me being allowed access to the internet. But it's like such a great example of the fact that we focus on singular things from any group of people. And there's just such a rich and vibrant history that gets ignored. which then brings us back to what we're talking about here today, which is nursery rhymes. I swear I'm not going to get on a soapbox about this. I promise. I promise. But what were we talking about before I got waylaid? Sorry.
You know, nursery rhymes and such.
Yeah. They do rhyme.
They do
That's
rhyme.
That's why they call nursery rhymes.
That is
I feel like at the end of the day is the important takeaway here, everyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've totally thrown us off. And for that, I will wrap this up because we were at the end of this conversation anyway. Keldon, thank you so much for joining us today.
This has been
amazing.
Thank you for having me.
Can you please tell our lovely listeners where they can find you? I know you're taking a break from social media right now, but in the event that you do come back to social media, let them know where they can find you, your website, where your books are, all that, please.
Sure. Yeah, the best place to find me right now and for the foreseeable future is my blog, which is just keldenmercury@wordpress.com. That's where I'll be kind of putting out updates and writing different things. And then in terms of books, my books are found in most book places. so yeah, that's where you can find me, in somewhere in the ether.
And I will be linking all of that in the caption of this. So if you are a listener and you're like, I don't want to type this into the browser, you just go to the caption of this episode and you can have a quick link. Well, thank you, Keldon, for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron right now?
Thank you so much for asking.
You're so welcome.
I have been doing actually so bad mentally. I've been drowning. My mental health is not great. Now, that being said, I do have something coming up that is keeping me going and making me feel great, which is that the first weekend of March, my mom friends and I are all going to Portland for the Rose City Yarn Crawl.
So cool.
And it's keeping me going. So if you're in the Portland area and you want to irritate me, and I'd say that with love, I actually won't be irritated. I mean, if you want to like scare me in my, you know, defenses down, yarn nerd, you know, state, I'm going to be in Portland from Thursday through Sunday. And I'm really excited. I'm so excited. I'm going to do a bunch of yarn shopping. I'm going to not have my kids, so nobody's going to ask me for anything, which is not true. One of my friends is bringing her daughter. So we're going to be having like a little thruple lesbian mom, one child moment. Which I'm actually so excited for. And I know that little girl's not going to let me put her down because I love her and she loves me and we're best friends. anyway, all that to say, that is keeping me going and making me very excited. And if you do see me in Portland that weekend, come say hi. I would love to see you. I'd love to say hi. Don't be weird and text me on Instagram afterwards and be like, I saw you.
No, what Robin is saying.
Because that actually, I don't like. I do like you walking up to me and saying hello. I don't like feeling like I was watched.
This means you should wear a t-shirt with Robin's face all over it and be like, can you sign my shirt, queen? And
that would make me throw up, actually. And I don't like that. And you will embarrass me in front of my friends. Please don't do that.
But on the back, it says Robin's
actually,
biggest
please
fan.
Do not do that under any circumstances. Thank you. Yeah, if you see me out, please come say hello. Yeah, I would love that. That would make me very happy. So, anyway.
So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
Oh, I'm going to tell you. So this weekend was so crazy with like spirit stuff that I don't know. No. It was so weird. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I was downstairs on, I think it was Saturday. It might've been Sunday, but I swear the witchling came downstairs and I said, good morning, baby. And they said back to me, good morning, mama. And I was just like, and I was like, oh, okay. And then Scarlet came downstairs and I was like, oh, where's Rue? And Scarlet was like, Rue's still in bed. And I'm like, what? Shut up. And I even shouted up at them. And yeah, they were still in bed. It was very weird. Very weird. And then,
I don't like that. I don't care for that at all, actually.
And then that, like, within a couple of hours, we were heading out and Scarlet is like going through this grape phase where she's been eating a ton of grapes.
Okay.
She had like up a handful.
We love a neurodivergent queen anyway.
Well, she got like, you know, the got a thing of grapes. Like it was still even attached to the, you know, the stem. And she put one in her mouth and she goes, huh, and like just immediately spits it back out into her hand. It was a tomato. It was a cherry tomato.
What? Random. That's so random.
We don't have any in the house. And it, everything was attached to a stem. I don't know. It was very weird. And then, same day, Scarlett, we're trying to put down stuff in our attic so we can add more storage up there because it's an unfinished attic and we can't finish it. Like, it's unfinishable. And but we lay things down on the beams up there so we can, yeah, put storage stuff. But she was going up there to lay down these planks of wood to do so. And mm-hmm. she opened up the attic and then immediately closes. I'm like, what? What were you doing? And she's like, I saw something and I'm just closing it. And it, like, she was like, I saw, you know how Scarlet is. She does, she doubts everything.
We're just done with that.
She doubts everything.
We're just done with that.
She like saw a face and she was like, never mind. We are good. And yeah, she's like, I'm sure it was just my mind playing tricks on me. We've actually never been better
than we are in this moment.
Yeah.
So we're going to boot Scoot Biggie away from that. Yeah. Thank you.
So yeah, that's not stirring my cauldron because that was a crazy day. And things have not been like that for a very long time. And usually it's been spread out better. Not in one day. I don't know.
Maybe something was up for the day.
Huh. Well, I cleansed the house. I put out more offerings for the house spirits and being like, okay, hope everything is good.
Move it along. Thanks, gang. If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creatives we are loving right now. This can be anyone from shops, social medias, books, art, other podcasts, just anything. These are organic finds. These are not ads. And if you have somebody that you think the community would love to hear, please send them to us so we can share them. We do our best to get through all of them, but that doesn't mean that we hit them all. So send it to us again if we haven't gotten to yours. That being said, Maria, who are you fucking with this week?
So I finally got a Kickstarter deck that I did earlier last year, I think. But they finally sent it out.
I vaguely remember this. Yeah.
And it is the Secret Garden Tarot. And it is so beautiful. And the cardstock is amazing. It's the same cardstock for like a Fyodor Pavlov deck. And the edges are like this beautiful dark red, and the whole like with spring right around the corner, it's very floral with a bunch of different flowers and stuff, and I love the black backings. Like, I'll show you, but very pretty.
Oh yeah,
very gorgeous.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah. And like the art is so like well done and stuff. I was scared at first that it was AI, but you know, it was a little too perfect. But the artist says that they did not use AI. So there is that.
Amazing.
We love a good deck that is not, was not all done
generative
by AI.
AI.
Yeah. You know, people with five fingers and an extra horse's leg on the night. Like, no, thank you.
How and also you? Not killing the planet.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I brought this creative up before, but they've done me a really big solid, so I'm gonna bring them up again. Mayhem Fiberworks, they did the lime green, like the super fluorescent lime green in my slime sweater. They have made me a 3D glasses inspired yarn for a sweater that I would really like to be make, well, that I'm planning to make for myself. That's going to be like a trippy checkerboard turns to like wave. I don't know. I'll have to show it to you.
Yes, please.
When I get there. But the idea of it is that it is 3D glasses and like, I forget what it's called. But 3D glasses inspired, and they made me this custom yarn for it. And then I was like, well, let's promote this as like a collaborative effort, so that way you like, if you, it's great, they've done a great job, So why shouldn't other people buy this if they're into cool, crazy stuff like me? So anyway, yeah, I'm very excited about it.
That sounds really cool. What a unique idea.
I'm really excited about it. I can't wait for it to get here. I'm going to be showing it off like a man with his fish.
Yes.
I'm just so excited.
Fair.
So the listener choice this week is a creator called Hidden Houses. Specifically, they did a post with like rats. And for those of you who are in the Discord or you know anything about the Discord, we have this like running kind of Discord joke about rats and how everyone is a bunch of little rats. They do like possum artwork and rat artwork. It's all stained glass stuff. It is very, very cute. I really am into, they've done like a series of possums wearing different hats. So there's like a party hat one, a cowboy hat one.
No, they're very
cute. I'm super into it. Yeah. It's so cute. And it's so like Coffee and Cauldrons Discord coded.
I love the owl ones. Owl ones are beautiful.
So cute. So, so cute. There's like a mouse and a cowboy hat on one of them. That's very good. So cute. Thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again Friday, March 6th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or March 13th for the fourth episode of Season 7. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us at the end of next month for our next class with a to-be-determined instructor. We got a couple great options, so we'll see which one aligns best.
Yes. And additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers our special 25-minute part two episode, a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions. Like, we're literally having book club this Friday, and we just had a class. I mean, come on. And we even have tiers that offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. And if you don't want to have a conversation, we can pull some cards for you. Like, it's completely up to you.
Which is a conversation of sorts.
Yeah.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual, chef's kiss voices, take a moment to review us on whatever streaming service you are tuning in from, such as Apple Podcasts or Spotify or somewhere else. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars, but rating us at all helps us to be seen by others. Thank you to everyone who already has and everyone who will in the future. We appreciate you.
And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere
and Maria
from Magic with Maria
Everywhere.
Ready?
You ready?
Yep.
1, 2, 3, 5
witches.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.